All right, tonight we're going to open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 to start with. And this is going to be a continuation of what we started looking at last Monday. We're looking in the Bible at what God expects of us as believers if we are to maintain good mental health. And we found so far that the Bible says in Matthew 22 verses 37 to 38 that we are to love God with all our mind, and that is a command of God, and therefore it is possible. And then we are told to not be of a doubtful mind in Luke 12 verse 29. Believe the Bible and stay away from the things that might cause you to doubt the word of God. And if you sense some doubt in yourself, immediately repent of those thoughts of unbelief. Your sanity depends on it. Thirdly, we saw that God expects us to keep control of our thoughts. In 1 Peter 1:13, the statement is, gird up the loins of your mind. Capture your wandering thoughts. Beware of daydreaming and imaginations that might lead you to dangerous theorizing, false ideas that are going to affect your relationships. And then finally, we ended last week in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, where we are commanded to renew the spirit of our mind. When your old nature tempts you to go back to your old ways before you were saved, remember how much you loved God and the things of God when you first got saved, and just stay right there. Stay right there. Tonight's going to be continuation of that list. So we're going to make this one number 5, the fifth thing that God expects us to do for the sake of our mental stability is found in Philippians chapter 2. If nothing I said last week sounded harsh, you might feel a little bit different as we proceed tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife. Okay, are you competing with anybody that you're not in your right mind? Are you trying to prove to yourself or to others that you're better than somebody? Then you're not in your right mind. And then it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You know, look at me, I'm better. Look at me, I'm superior. Look at us, we're chief. Look at us, we're the top dogs. You're not in your right mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Okay, if you think you're better than anyone else, you're not in your right mind. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? So listen. Please listen. As soon as I say it, you can forget it, but at least listen while I say it. The reason most people are depressed is because they love themselves and the rest of the world doesn't. The reason most people are mentally unstable and can't handle life is because they think the entire world is supposed to revolve around them and it doesn't. Well, I'm supposed to be happy. Says who? Besides you. Well, you know, things are supposed to go better than this. According to what? Where you get that information? You know what the Lord said? Do you want to be of a sound mind? Then stop loving yourself so much and start loving other people more. You know who it is that has good marriages? It's the people who love the other person, not the people who demand the other person love them. You know who has good friendships? It's the people who love others, not the people who demand others to love them. Do you know who can't wait to get to church? The people who are there to do something for somebody else. Do you know who can't wait to leave church? The people who say, well, he didn't talk to me. He didn't speak to me. They didn't call on me. When you think about the generations before us, who had, I mean, I'm not talking about people who had none of the modern conveniences that we have today, people who had to take turns bathing outside in a metal tub in the cold of winter, who had to cut firewood for heat and for cooking, who had to go out and hunt for food or grow their food and store it for winter. And here we are, we're eating three meals a day, probably, with dessert and snacks later on. And we can go outside, we can get in a car and drive wherever we want to go. And you're depressed? Why? And life is so hard? Why? Because your expectations are unreasonable. Everybody didn't treat me right. What Bible did you read that led you to think that everyone was going to treat you right? Everything didn't go the way I thought it would. Well, is your thinking tied to the truth of God's word, or is your thinking tied to your imagination? Jesus Christ said, if you want to be healthy mentally, okay, think about this. We live in a society in which 70% of people meet the clinical definition of mental illness. You know what Jesus said? Esteem others better than yourself. Do you know what people are getting from kindergarten all the way through high school? Self-esteem, self-love. You know what the TV shrinks tell people? Love yourself. Your problem is you just don't love yourself. They are handing you a prescription for mental illness. They're making you crazy by telling you to love yourself. And then they're making money off of you to give you meds for the mental illness that they caused. Stop loving yourself. Start loving others. That is Jesus' prescription for good mental health. Hope you believe it. It's hard to convince people of that in this society, though, because they get in their air-conditioned cars or they buy a ticket on an airplane and they check into a hotel with heat, with central air and all the conveniences, so they can go out and participate in a protest march against harming the environment. You're loony. Well, there's too many fluorocarbons in the air. Hey, you drove there. Thousands of people drove there. Hundreds of you. You flew there. You have signs that are made of plastics, petroleum products that are going to go in an ocean and a turtle's going to try and eat it and die. And your sign says, save the environment. And you can do that on a weekday because you don't work. You won't work because the cruel, evil government that you protest against feeds you for free. You're insane. You're mentally ill. And the reason you're mentally ill is because you love yourself so much. Well, don't you think the planet is dying? I'm just passing through. How about you? This planet's not going to be dead before I am. If it dies before I do, it'll send me to heaven. Don't you think God cares about the planet? Well, read the Bible. In 7 years' time, he's going to burn a third of all the trees. He's going to poison most of the water and then bombard it with meteors. He's obviously not overly concerned with the health of the planet. And whatever he does to it, he can fix it when he's done. People, they sit around losing their minds, not over their children doing drugs, not over their neighbors going to hell, but, oh, the poor dolphins. What's going to happen to the dolphins? Why do you care about the dolphin? Why do you care about that dolphin? I mean, why don't you care about your neighbor's soul? The dolphin's not going to heaven. It's not going to hell. It's going to live a certain number of years and then feed other things in the ocean. Your neighbor, on the other hand, is going to go to heaven or going to go to hell forever. I mean, if you're going to be stressed about that. This thing, it's bizarre when you see how people are, you know, but I'm getting off track here. So what mind are you supposed to have? The mind that was in Christ Jesus. What mind was in Christ Jesus? I will give up my place at the right hand of the Father and come down there and die on a cross if it will be better for you, if it will benefit you. I will be crucified. And he did. You know what he said? If you could just think like that, if you could just think like that, your blues would go away. Yeah, they would. All right. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch this one. Here we have some good, faithful church members, and they lost their right mind because their doctrine was faulty. Okay, so are you ready? Verse number 1, 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he said Jesus is coming, and by our gathering together unto him. Okay, so we are going to be with Jesus. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, so in this particular case, here's what happened. Some people who were told to be looking for the coming of the Lord were tricked into looking for the coming of the Antichrist. And they got so freaked out over what the Antichrist might do to them that they were all shaken up in their mind. Now, do you know what they needed? They didn't need medication. They didn't need psychoanalysis. They needed to get their doctrine right. Because if you don't believe what's right, then what is wrong could mess up your mind. That's right. Some Christians believe that the church is going through the tribulation. But I've taught you from the Bible that if you're saved, you'll not go through the tribulation. The only people that will be on earth during that tribulation time is going to be lost people. And if I thought that Jesus Christ would take a bride and then drag her through hell for 7 years to straighten her up, I wouldn't have much respect for him. Is the church the bride of Christ? And is that 7-year tribulation God pouring out his wrath upon this earth? Well, what man slaps his wife around for 7 years because she isn't meeting his expectations? I mean, that's the teaching. If you think the church is going through the tribulation, then that's what you believe. Well, I don't believe that. So I'm not worried about it. You know how many things there are to worry about? Well, a lot more now that we have the internet. It used to be you'd have to spend some money and buy a book and read about one thing to worry about. Now you can get pages, entire pages containing 50 things right there to unnerve you, to unsettle you, to trouble you, to make you sick to your stomach while you drink your morning coffee. How healthy are you going to be feeding on that while the Word of God sits on a table and says, hello, hello, could you read me? Hello, could you read me? No, I got to read the news. these headlines, I can't take them. Well, then don't. Don't. Whatever that newspaper says, it's going to happen whether you read about it or not. And most of it isn't going to happen. It's all fake news. I can't tell you how many times over many years I've read that my money was going to be worthless and the stock market was going to crash and we're all going to lose our money and we better get some gold and stock up on canned goods. And here we are, same as always, because none of that stuff happened. Look, all that stuff, it might happen. But why would you lose your mind worrying about it in case it doesn't? This one fella, he's sitting outside on his porch, man. He's just about to have a nervous breakdown, sitting there reading the newspaper. His wife comes home and says, honey, I don't know why you're doing this. The last 100 things that you worried about never happened. He said, well, that just shows you the power of worrying. Be not soon shaken in mind. Look, that's a command to not be shaken in mind by things that are not true. Okay? All right, let's get another. Hebrews this time, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Have you done these things? If you haven't done these things, then you cannot declare yourself beyond hope or beyond recovery. All right, verse number 1, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Have you done that? Anything that weighs you down from living for Jesus. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Have you gotten rid of all the sins in your life? All of them? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, are you running for Jesus? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know what the Lord said? He said your mind can get worn out. And just like your physical body can get completely exhausted so that you can't even stand, and down you go, you fainted. Same thing can happen in your mind. There it is, right there in the Bible. Your mind can faint, and you will shut down. And hey, most of us have probably known somebody whose mind did just do that, just shut right down. They end up in hospitals and asylums because their mind shut down. Now, here's what I want to know. Before we say there's no hope, have you laid aside every weight? Have you laid aside the sin that does so easily beset you? Are you running the race for Jesus Christ? Are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Here's what most people want to do, or don't want to do. They don't want to deal with the cause of their problems. They want a pill that makes their problems go away. And I'm telling you, the pill doesn't make the problems go away. It might get you through it, might. It might, but it doesn't make it go away. Obedience to Jesus Christ in many, 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 many cases will make it go away. And if you have not done these things to deal with a weary mind or a fainting mind, don't say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. God just wants me this way. No. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We've got two more verses tonight. Titus chapter 2, verse number 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. So I'm to command you. You are to command me to be sober-minded. And look at verse number 4. We don't want to leave the ladies out. That they, the speaking of the aged women, may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Okay? Am I supposed to teach you to be medicated, intoxicated, inebriated? Or am I to teach you to be sober-minded? I'm going to teach you to be sober-minded. That seems to indicate now that God has some expectation of our mind, of our being in our right mind. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you agree? Now, I'm not saying this to ridicule people who've been taught otherwise. I'm saying this to give you some hope. You don't have to be altered mentally for the rest of your life. Now, if one of you went to a bar and started drinking and it took away your sobriety, most Christians would say, well, that's not right. If somebody was smoking dope or taking pills or something else that would take away their right mind, you'd say, that's not right because it took away your sobriety. Okay, if your imagination is taking you out of your right mind, why would we address that any differently than we would alcohol or drugs? If you fear, or your evil communications, or your self-love, or your disobedience to the word of God has robbed you of your right mind, why am I not allowed to rebuke that the same way that I would alcohol or drugs? I'm commanded to rebuke that. And it's not because we're insensitive. It's because we don't want people devoting themselves for life to mind-altering medications that, in most cases, do more harm than the original condition. That's all. That's all. Eventually, I'll be talking about people who are genuinely damaged. But for most people, it's self-inflicted by failing to obey the scriptures. Okay, one last place. It's in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know what the Holy Spirit does for my inner man? 2 Corinthians 4 says, it is renewed day by day. Okay? Day by day. Now, God saved my soul. That's what God did. He saved my soul. But he sees fit to renew my saved soul every day. He does that. Now, why would you think that your mind that hasn't been redeemed yet would need to be renewed, you know, just ever so often, maybe once every couple of years? If your saved soul, your saved soul needs renewing every day, hey, your mind needs renewing at least that often. Did you know these guys that wrest the scriptures to their own destruction end up out of fellowship with everybody? Well, you know, Jesus paid for all our sins on the cross. Well, yeah, I believe he did. I believe that. Well, then what's this? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Okay, let me help you with something there. You get home from work, walk in your house, and you see that your wife is cleaning the house. You ask her, why are you cleaning the house? Why don't you wait and just clean it once a year? Well, it needs cleaning, she says. But you just cleaned it last week. Yeah, but we've tracked stuff in. And so you clean it again and clean it again and clean it again. Why? Because you care about your house. Did you know when you drive down that freeway, that Fahil Expressway, things get tracked into your mind? If you go in that restaurant with the music playing and the TV up on the wall, things are getting tracked into your mind. You couldn't stand to live in your house if you cleaned it as seldom as you clean your mind. Think about it. All that cussing and cursing that you hear at work every day. All those nasty stories and comments that you hear at work. All that whining and griping and complaining that you hear at work. Well, when are you going to wash that out? When are you going to sweep that thing? You go to work, you hear all that junk, and then you stop at the store. You hear all that junk. You go out and eat somewhere. You hear all that junk. You get around a group of people. You hear all their junk. And then you just go home and you do what? No prayer, no Bible reading, no repentance, no confession. You're going to have a real messy mind. You're going to have a real dirty mind. That's a fact. If you're a farmer and you go out in the morning to feed the animals, when all is done, you go in the house and your wife says, ooh, what's that smell? Huh? Oh, I must have stepped in something and tracked it in the house. It's okay. We'll clean it up in a month or so. Nobody says that. If you step in that stuff, man, that is nasty. And you walk in the house with your shoes on and there it is on your floor. There it is on the rug, tracked all across the living room. And you say, man, that really stinks. In a couple of months, we're going to have to clean that. Nobody's that crazy. Somebody's going to get on that right now. In fact, the one who made the mess is the one that should clean it up. Nobody would leave that, except somebody that's not right in their mind. But boy, when you see a dirty picture, why do you leave it in your mind? You hear cussing and you leave it in your mind. You hear people blaspheming God and you just leave it in your mind. Why don't you wash that thing? Just go to God and say, God, please take that out of my mind. I'm sorry I heard that. I'm sorry I saw that. Please, God, take that out of my mind. You know why people in this world get crazy, because they've just had years and years and years of people tracking manure into their brain, and they never wash it out. So if there's no other reason, you ought to get before God and confess things. It's the same reason that you take the stinky stuff out of the garbage and get it out of the house, because it's rotten. Who wants to live with that? And listen, these perverts, these sick, depraved, disgusting perverts who harm children, do you know where that all started? Their activities? One dirty picture, a second dirty picture, a third dirty picture, a fourth dirty picture, a dirty video, and then a dirty movie, and it just escalates. And they've got so much filth in their mind that now it's reprobate. They've got a reprobate mind. You know what you ought to do? You ought to wash that mind. You ought to keep that mind at least as clean as you keep your sink, at least as clean as you keep your floor, at least as clean as you keep your hands. You say, I'm going to eat. Well, you better wash your hands. You don't know what you've touched. I'm going to go to church. You better wash your brain. You don't know what you thought about. You ought to be at least as worried about bad thoughts as you are worried about germs. Renewing of your mind. Clean it up. Clean it up. Before you go sit on a couch and pay somebody a lot of money and tell them, oh, I have all these horrible thoughts, just repent of them. Just confess them. Take them to God and say, God, I saw that and it affected me. I saw that and it provoked lust in me. I saw that and it made me love myself. I saw that and it made me think evil of that person. I saw that and it made me critical. I saw that and it made me bitter. Well, what are you going to do? Just leave all that manure in your mind? Or are you going to get before God and wash it? Spiritually, we're lazy. We're lazy. And I don't want one person to have a mind that is ill. I don't want one person to be mentally ill who could prevent it if they would obey the scriptures. I want you to learn to do everything the scriptures tell you to do. And if that doesn't work, okay, then something is broken. But we're not going to declare that something is broken if you haven't done these things that God tells you to do. And I hope that helps. I hope that's not, you don't think that's hard or that's mean. I'm just saying, getting saved is not enough. If you want to live a victorious Christian life, you've got to get saved. You got to obey the Bible and let God fix those things. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing us that you do care, for showing us what to do when our minds get full of the things of this world. We let things go in our eyes that we wish we hadn't seen. Thank you, Lord, that there's a way we can cleanse that, that you're there ready to take care of those things for us if we would only bring them to you. Lord, we thank you that you showed us you want us to have a sound mind. You want us to have a sharp mind and get rid of the things that would make us ill and make us have a reprobate mind. Lord, I pray that if anybody's struggling with these things in our church, you'd help us to show them these things and to be a help to them, and pray that you would help them to see the things you've shown us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.